with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, warm welcome back to Mary Lucy. Mary, it doesn't seem like that long since you were last with us. We were talking about the Leaving Cert or the CAO and the whole shebang. And I know you've been mad busy ever since. But you want to talk a little bit today about surviving the first semester of college. Now, everyone assumes that when you go off to college, it's brilliant and it's great and it's fun and you love your course and the freedom and the social life and everything. But actually, you know, there's a lot of bumps in the road.
A lot of bumps in the road. And normally they can be ironed out really easily if people are aware and they know what to do. But sometimes they're not, and it can result in students just dropping out and also failing exams. So that's why I thought it might be a good topic when they're just starting off, for parents to hear and for students to hear, some of the common mistakes and some of the common, say, just, you know, things that go wrong for them, really, I suppose. And the very first is with the registration. Like the first years were back. Say, new intake would have been back last week for induction and that, and in most colleges, and they'll be starting back this week in classes. So it's, you know, students must make sure they're registered properly. They've got student IDs, they've got student cards. They can log onto the portals there. They can get access to the library. And sometimes they're oblivious to the fact that they have to do all this if they miss any of the induction sessions. So they need to make sure they can do that. And once they have their student card, they also need to use that then for discounts, for travel, for going out at night, for eating, for shops, you know, to avail of every possible student discount they can, but they will need the student card.
Yeah, so that's not something to put on the long finger.
No, so do that straight away. And once they're registered, then they'll get their timetable, and that will be, all this is online. They need to familiarise themselves very well with the timetable and where they have to be, because some of the campuses are quite large. And some of them, even you might have a lecture in one building and then another lecture in another building. And a lot of students tend to, before they can get into the swing of all that, they're missing lectures and, you know, they're missing out on material from the very beginning. And it's not good to do that. They need to realise, because there's no parent there calling them in the morning and saying, come on, you know, I'll drop you to school or I'll drop you here. They have to realise that it is entirely, if they've moved away from home, this is, it's entirely up to them.
And to get out of bed.
And this is such a shock to their system. Genuinely, it is. They think initially for the first few days that someone is going to keep track, that they're there, you know, but they realise nobody is going to do that.
So all new ball game.
It is completely up to them. Like, they have completely sole responsibility to attend lectures, to attend tutorials. And the initial sense of freedom, you know, sometimes it can go to some of their heads and they start to miss classes really early on. And some of the courses, if anything, say, like nursing or anything to do with something that there's a very practical element, there's a percentage of attendance that's taken into account before they're allowed to even sit exams. So, and they're not aware of that sometimes. So it's important that they attend all their lectures, they attend their tutorials, and I can almost guarantee them, on radio, I'm saying this now, I can almost guarantee them if they do that and they submit their assignments, that they will pass the first semester. Like, attending is so important because the colleges want them to pass. Like, you know, they don't want students to be dropping out. They don't want to lose numbers. And if they engage, you know, attend, do the work they're supposed to do, you know, they only need to get a pass mark in all the first semester. And that's a success, I think, because there's such a huge change for them. You know, they tend then, students as well, just to advise them from, you know, a parental perspective as well, like going out at night, you know, they need to have a system in place. It's easy to find a way to get out. They need to have a system in place to get home as well when they're going out, which is equally, if not more important, you know, and they need to have, you know, a plan in place that if they're in a situation they want to get out of, they can text their friend, you know, they have a word they can say between them that they're going to just leave together. You know, it's common sense, a lot of these things, but sometimes then when you move away from home for the first time, you're maybe 18, you're in a new environment, you know, in a bigger city, larger city, things can just happen that you hadn't anticipated. So have a good plan in place. Safety is important. Even student accommodation or where people are living, sometimes it looks, the you know, the places look great during the day, and then by night or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're dark and they're down alleys, they may not be quite as safe looking or as safe. So they just need to make sure that they have a plan in place, and they're, you know, that they keep their wits about them.
Yeah, that's very good information, or very good advice indeed. And of course, it can be a massive change if you're someone from a small rural village, and all your socialising, you kind of went out maybe in the village for a few pints, and the next thing you're over in London or above in Dublin.
I mean, it's like when you think about it, and I mean, a lot of the schools, even leaving certs in sixth year, they're allowed to go to the shop in sixth year. If you just think about it, and they come home in the evening, and there's, you know, maybe a guardian at home, a parent at home, keeping an eye on them and seeing what's... And suddenly they're just dropped on their own and they have to fend for themselves. You know, they might be in a house effectively with a bunch of strangers if they're living in student accommodation. So it's just such a huge change, and I don't think people are prepared enough at all for it, or there isn't enough work done, you know, looking at all of that aspect. Now, Cara Credit Union, myself, run this Rock Your College Experience. We run this programme, we roll out for the secondary schools that are in under their you know, umbrella. And I cover this, like, about a number of elements that people never even think about when they go to college. But they're all problems and issues that students encountered, that they came to me because they were going to drop out, you know. And they could have been rectified, and they could have been identified easier and earlier, and they might have been more a pleasant and positive experience transitioning into college then as a result.
Yeah.
I mean, even things like simple things like being able to cook for yourself. I mean, I know a girl who told me that she had like scrambled eggs for breakfast, dinner and supper because it's the only thing she could do, you know. So every day that's what she had, which is very nutritious, I suppose, but I don't know, about 6 eggs a day. So even something like that, you know, so they don't think, and even budgeting, an awful lot of students tell me that they find, you know, that they, for the first couple of days of the week, they have all their money spent because they're used to just being able to, you know, get food out of the fridge at home or get a lift somewhere, and suddenly they're not in that situation. So again, it's things like budgeting, make sure they've enough, like, to last for the week, don't spend everything the first day. Take a look at where the other students go. If students go, it's normally, you know, a good value. So if students are going to a cafe or going to a restaurant, you know, shop wisely. Again, people tend to buy takeaways initially in first year, and they're living on takeaways and they've nothing for the rest of the week. You know, half the week they're living on takeaways, the other half the week they're not. I know, and I'm sure anybody who's worked in a college, it's many a student I give money to on a Friday to get a bus home or train home that they'd no money. And it was always a loan, you know. So again, things like that, it's just that you have to think about, they're living on their own and they're not used to doing that, you know. And then from the academic perspective, they're not used to the new environment, that they are solely responsible for making sure they're there and on time. And from the academic side as well, the learning is all self-directed. So again, I've said it before, but I know this will happen again this year, that students contact me, our parents, say, you know, in November, Halloween time, saying that their son or daughter realised they were supposed to have so many assignments submitted, or so many assignments, and they had nothing done because nobody told them to. But again, they will get a schedule online, and there will be dates there, and the assignments must be submitted. If they're not submitted, they just get zero. No one will come looking for them and saying, Deirdre, you never handed me in your assignment. You know?
Yeah, you're not spoon-fed the way you are in secondary school.
And as well, then there's negative marking if you submit something that's late. You know, there might be 5% taken off. If it's a day late, 10%, you know, and it can grow. So sometimes students hand in something late and they get zero for it because it's so late that it wasn't worth their while doing. These all sound really obvious things I'm saying, but in actual fact, they might be obvious, but when you're caught in this problem and in this scenario, you don't see an obvious way out, you know, so it can be a problem.
Okay, well, look, there's a lot to think about there, but we've already got some questions for you, Mary. And just to remind listeners, if you have someone in your family going to college, maybe you're a student listening to us yourself and you could do with some advice, Mary will be with us for the next 15 minutes or so. 083 300 3300 to send us in a question. Back in a moment.
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
Okay, Mary, let's go through some questions. A student completed the CAO form incorrectly And although they had enough points, or sorry, it's a he, although he had enough points for his first choice, he got no offer in round one. He says, "Will I get an offer from a different course in round two in the same college?" I did get an offer for a different course in round two in the same college, but it's not really the course I want. Advice. I hope I explained that properly to you.
Okay, so this person made an error with the CAO form, but got the points for the course he wanted, but because he had an error there, he wouldn't have got an offer in the first round.
Okay, figured it out. All right. So what's the advice for him?
So if the fact he has got the points, he has an offer of another course. So if he is happy to do that course, he could start that course and then he could go to admissions in the college. And the fact he has sufficient points for his first choice, they may be able to organise a transfer for him. Now, I cannot guarantee they will do that, but they may, if they have places on the course, like they offer so many places, and maybe one or two students may not turn up depending on what the course is. And if he has sufficient points, they may be able to organise an internal transfer for him. Now, that's something he needs to investigate himself. If he doesn't want to do the course, he shouldn't start it. But if he's down as a second choice, something he probably does want to. But if he decides that he does want to start it, that's what I would look for, an internal transfer.
And it can be done,
And some colleges are willing to do that if they've places. The fact that he's met the points, you see, he must have met the point intake, and he's done that.
Now, we've already touched on this, but we've had a parent onto us very worried about a student who can't get out of bed when they're at home and has to be called every morning. Anxious now that my child will spend their time in bed when they go to college.
And there's a good chance if they're not getting out of bed. Well, it has to be reinforced that if he doesn't attend, or she doesn't attend, that they will fail their time in college. I would incline to maybe get them working part-time as well, and that let them pay some of the fees, and they'll get out of bed if they think they have to maybe pay extra fees if they fail exams. You can always put in a couple of alarms. I mean, it might be the type of person who just a deep sleeper, so put one alarm like near the locker and one alarm somewhere else that he's to get out of bed to, and also tell the housemate, say, "I sleep, will you please make sure that I get up out of bed," until he gets used to it. But he has to learn to take responsibility. I mean, he has to learn to do that. Yeah. You know?
Time to grow up.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't surprising. We've had a call from a listener who can't get accommodation in Cork, got a college offer but not first choice, and had no accommodation organised. Any advice on that? Okay. Of course, there's a pile of scams out there as well. So
actually, that's one thing, and the rate of the scams that have been reported have increased this year quite significantly. So just to watch for people that are doing that. Some people contact me because they might have had maybe first choice in Limerick and they had accommodation arranged, and then they got a place and they got a place in Cork. If they're happy with the course, my advice, I say to people, like, don't refuse a course if you haven't got accommodation, because what happens after the first few weeks, there's always a fallout of students. Students started college and they didn't like it, or they realised the course wasn't for them, or they got another offer, or they've got work or whatever. So there will be a fallout, so places will come up. And also when you're in the college and you're with the group of students, and when you start talking, you get to know people, and there might be digs going somewhere, or they may know a room that's somewhere else, and you have a far better chance of it. And if it's Cork, like, you can always travel for a day, like get a B&B for one night, travel home again the next day. Do you know, there's ways around it if you really want the course. And remember as well, then the course, like, they won't be 9 to 5, these courses. You know, they'll be maybe 3 hours one day, 2 hours another day, 4 hours another day. So there is a bit of leeway there.
Texter says, "I'm very anxious about paying college fees. Would Mary have any tips or advice?"
What I found was great myself when I had people in college is that I arranged an instalment to pay by instalments. So it meant I could pay a certain amount each month or every 2 months or whatever. And the colleges are all open to that.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they will support you in any way they can. Now, the one caveat is that a student's results won't be issued until the fees for that semester or for that year are completely paid. So you can't continue on owing money. So you need to just have the college fees paid before the students get the results, or they won't issue them their results. So you just have to keep an eye on that. But it is very helpful, and they will try and help you. And people should also look, like, if the SUSI grant is rejected, appeal it, and just to see if anything else can be done there. But if you are not going to get SUSI grant, take a look at the bursaries that are out there. There's the credit union, the Dan Gallagher Awards at the moment, and that's just if you have a credit union account, you just submit a very short form and your name goes in for a draw. There's no requirements except for that. And I think it's 7 names they pick out, and they get €1,500 each. And I know even students that got it last year that contacted me, because initially they thought it was a scam when somebody rang them and said, you're after winning €1,500, you know, and they were saying, this can't be right. And they all put it towards their college fees. So they found that was great. So I would encourage as well a student, if, you know, let them work part time and let them contribute in some way, because they'll have more buy-in and they'll realise how expensive it all is. So rather than the burden being entirely on a parent, perhaps a student could help out as well in some way.
Yeah, and even before they leave secondary school, I suppose, if they have summer jobs, to be putting a few bob away for college.
I mean, I've always said I think they learn more in summer job like that. Like from around transition year on, I would encourage them to be working part-time and getting involved, yeah.
And now this came in from a listener who says, what would Mary recommend for a child with autism? Very high functioning, but just not able to cope with normal classes and school. There is an autism unit, but not resourced to suit their needs.
Yeah, well, first of all, most a lot of people with autism are high functioning and very capable, and it might be just the environment and, you know, the social side of it that they really struggle with. A lot of colleges, I'm not sure, is it secondary school, is it, or college?
Yeah, well, they said normal classes and school, so I presume it's secondary school.
An awful lot of the schools, like, really try and do what they can to work with the parent and a student, and they do have duty of care if a student is registered with them anyway. They could take a look, perhaps, maybe, at keeping up 1 or 2 lessons in subjects in subject school, maybe doing 1 or 2 then outside of school, or even online if possible. This sounds, if they'd be well able to do that, you know. So there is iSchool, which is a means of doing modules online. And there's also then as well, you can take a look at Pathways, which is kind of, you could do a QQI level 3, level 4, and that leads on to PLC course. So you can still carve out a way for yourself to progress, and it's not the traditional, you know, the traditional kind of in the classroom scenario. So there would be ways around that person. But every person is individual, and I stress that, you know, so what will work with one person, whether, you know, they've autism or not, won't work with another person. So you'd need to see what will suit that person, yeah.
Now, this next one might be a bit tricky, Mary, but it's a student who did orientation on her PLC course recently. Yeah. She says, by the time the day was over, some of the others had formed a WhatsApp group, but she was left out of the group and found it very upsetting. And she says, how can this be approached? Or how should I approach this?
Yeah, to be honest, I've dealt with an awful lot of bullying cases when I was in colleges, etc. And they were all involved with WhatsApp groups. So I actually used to say to students, just don't create them and stay off them. In that scenario, I would, the PLC, there will be a course coordinator for her course. So someone kind of who is the like managing the course and the person they can touch base with. So I would contact that person and explain, you know, what has happened. Because normally at the beginning of an orientation, there's a set of kind of guidelines or rules that the teacher and the students will agree upon, about respecting each other, you know, communicating properly and all that. And that is normally included in it, you know. So I would suggest, I would say to get them to say, you know, contact the coordinator, say what has happened, and ask them, could they try and help out in some way? And they may be able to address the group to say that if they're including creating a WhatsApp group, could they ensure that everybody is included in it? Because, I mean, everybody, it's an inclusive environment, and they don't want to, you know, like, differentiate from anybody and ensure people are left out. And, I mean, I'm sure they'll know well what's been addressed.
Yeah, and it could possibly be an oversight as well. You never know.
But you don't know. And some people take things very personally, and other people, they wouldn't take any notice of that. But I mean, that's how I would handle it if I was that person. I would speak to the coordinator and explain what has happened.
Now, before we finish up, Mary, we're nearly over, but you want to just mention a talk that you're giving with John Lonergan, who's a wonderful speaker, the ex-Mountjoy governor.
Yeah.
The two of you are doing a talk next week.
We are. We did one last year as well, and it was, he was brilliant, of course.
And I'm sure you were too.
I did my bit anyway. So during the day, it's for first years and sixth years. And it's the Castle Island branch of the Second Chance Charity Shop and Kerry Mental Health are organising this. And in the evening, there's a talk for parents and guardians with John Lonergan and myself again. It's at 7:15 to 9:15. In the Ivy Leaf Arts Centre in Castle Island. And we just want people to know that if parents want to come along, they are more than welcome. The whole focus is on, I suppose, providing advice and tips for parents who are navigating the secondary school journey with their children and how to look at reducing anxiety and stress for, I suppose, both parents and the children as well.
Sounds very good. Great idea. Thank you so much, Mary, for everything this month. Loads of great tips there. We will put it all up as a podcast and we'll have Mary back with us again in October. For now, though, we'll take a break. We'll back.